we've got all the commissioners. I'm just going to call our meeting to order today on this May 20th. And the first item on the agenda is approving the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
I'll move. I'll second then.
Okay, great. Well, first, thank you. Any friendly amendments, questions, comments? See none. All those in favor of approving the minutes say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Hi, John.
The minutes are approved. The next item is the loan portfolio, and we have five loans at $4.7 million. I move to approve the loan portfolio. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, John. Rich, I'm going to turn it over to you to walk us through the loans we're reviewing today.
Well, we've got three loans that we love to call bread and butter. Those would be loans 2, 3, and 5, which are for equipment and roads. But loans number 1 and 4 are both for interesting purposes. You'll remember last year, the town of LaPointe actually bought the ferry that goes between Madeline Island and Bayfield. And now they're going to do some harbor improvements for the purpose of that ferry. And then loan number 4 is for the Lac La Belle Lake Management District to finance a reconstruction of the boat launch there. And that's all I have for today. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Rich. I don't have any questions, but do any of the other commissioners?
Just no questions, out of curiosity, what are they going to do in LaPointe for the harbor? What are they?
I didn't get a lot of details on that, John. I think they're probably improving, where the boat comes into the harbor, maybe pier improvements. But I'm sorry, I did not get a lot of detail on that purpose.
No problem. It's just my wife said we should go to Bayfield this year, and I thought, oh well, there we go.
Stop in and get a tour of the harbor improvements, John, and let us know what you find out.
I'll be on top of my list.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Rich? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving our loans today say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Hi, John.
The loans are approved, and we have no old business, and we have no new business, so we're just moving on to routine business. So, Rich, passing the mic back over to you.
I have nothing for today, Sarah. Thank you.
All right. Well, then we'll move to the Executive Secretary's report. Tom.
The topic at the top of the conversation list for everybody is the budget right now, and BCPL is no different than any other agency. Right now, there's quite a bit of question marks in terms of what's going to get funded and what isn't. There have been several members of Joint Finance that have expressed an interest in perhaps providing us the funding that we've asked for, but they've also looked at moving us back to program revenue, which made sense to me. Late last week, Ledge Council released a memo that said, well, legislature, you can do what you want, but most likely that wouldn't be constitutional, even though they'd done it for 40 years. And the memo also mentioned some of the statutes that have remained. Those statutes, they pointed out, well, they don't really provide any funding for the agency because there's no appropriation tied to them. But those statutes actually provide BCPL the ability to invest in a lot of the private investment funds that we are invested in because of the fact that a lot of them pay us net earnings, not gross earnings. And without those statutes, it would be difficult to do that. And so by Ledge Council raising that issue, it kind of sent warning flags over to me, like, I don't think you understand why these statutes remain there, because originally they were part of a budget bill to strip that out, and the governor vetoed those, and so they stayed in. And so I spent the better part of the weekend writing a memo on this topic, and in my effort to be brief, I failed because I ended up at 8 pages, but it ended up with a pretty coherent story in terms of how we got to this point. And I talked to the attorney for Ledge Council that wrote the memo, and she was very appreciative because she hadn't spent enough time to actually go into the backstory and the context for all these things. Obviously, she was given an assignment in a short period of time to do it. And that's what came out. So she's going to look at what I sent. And she said this may be one of the situations where Ledge Council may actually change their position on it. She said, but no promises. You know, let me take a look at it. So we're kind of in a no man's land right now, but I think we've taken the appropriate steps to lay out why a move back to program revenue funding would make sense. And also, don't touch those statutes. So anyway, that's my abbreviated description of what went on in the last 5 or 6 days. I'm sure some of you have more questions, so I'll turn the floor over back to you so I can be responsive.
Tom, do you mind sharing that memo with the commissioner so we can just be
I'm happy
fully
to.
Read in?
Yeah. I did my best to write it in layman's English because I kind of figured that there would be many more people looking at it. So there's nothing in there that I would consider attorney-client privilege. It's written as a file memo, so I'd be happy to do that.
That would be appreciated. And then what do you, did Ledge Council give you a timeline as far as
sorry,
when they think they might bring this back up for consideration?
The answer to that is simply no. The nice thing was, I mean, I had a great conversation with the person who wrote it, and that's always the best thing. The other thing is, the person who wrote it was a senior attorney over there. When BCPL was thrust onto this path back in 2019, that first memo was written by a couple of junior attorneys that really had no clue what they were doing. And the tone of this memo was very different. In 2019, it was like BCPL must go back on GPR. The tone of this one is, they should probably go on GPR. So tone was very different. And when I was able to provide that backstory and that context and explain that the case that they're relying upon does not say what you think it says. You know, as attorneys, we are used to reading a case a certain way. And sometimes we're guilty of reading a case a certain way because of the fact that cases normally are written a certain way. But this one was unusual because of the fact that the case that they're relying on was not a case that provided any forward guidance at all. Over 100 years ago, the commissioners in those days had issues. They were trying to figure out what are we supposed to do after all this stuff went wrong in the past. And so they had a laundry list of things that they wanted guidance on. The Secretary of State and the Attorney General agreed to sue each other and bring the case directly to the Supreme Court for guidance. And so in the first case, the Supreme Court kind of went through issue by issue by issue by issue. And it got to the end, it said, okay, we got some factual issues that would normally have been handled by a trial court, but we don't have that here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hire a special referee to do this. And in essence, what we're assigning to him is the obligation to find out these facts, because what we have is a problem of determining which lands and which money should go into which fund. And so this was strictly a backwards looking situation. It was like accounting for an estate that went wrong. And so in the special referee's report, he said, not sure how I'm supposed to do this with respect to expenses, but because the state has always covered the expenses and there's never been a law to the otherwise, I'm assuming the state's going to cover all these expenses. If the state doesn't, well, then the only thing I can imagine is applying trust law and then allocating the expenses pro rata to the funds. In 2019, they took that Supreme Court decision as, yep, the Supreme Court endorsed it, therefore, it's always got to be GPR. But that's not what that case was saying. It was solving an old issue. By the time that the issue came up in 2019, that was not the tradition anymore. For 40 years, the state had been funding BCPL with program revenue. Not only had the legislature passed the bill, the governor had signed it. And so some of the main pieces supporting that decision-making back in 100 years ago were no longer the case anymore. And so that's why relying on an accounting case from over 100 years ago was not appropriate to determine a course of action for the future today.
Well, thank you, Tom, for kind of getting into it. It sounds like it's clearly a lot more complex than what it looks like. And I know
part of the reason it was a good conversation is I had to admit to the attorney from Ledge Counsel that when I first got to BCPL, my opinion was the same as hers that she wrote in that memo. I said, but over the years, as I had to read more and more, because this is my job here, I realized, no, I had misinterpreted what had gone on 100 years ago. So.
Well, we look forward to the memo and just hearing what happens with Lead Council after their, newfound information as they're reading the statutes and thinking things through.
I hope I don't put you all to sleep too fast, but anyway.
I'm sure read like a novel, Tom. It'll be great.
If it only sold like a novel, that would be great.
Right. Any questions for Tom from the commissioners? All right. Well, seeing none, I have nothing to report today, so I'm going to be real brief. And so we'll just move to future agenda items. Is there anything folks would like to see for a future BCPL meeting?
None for me.
None here.
Okay. All right. Well, I move to adjourn. Is there a second?
I second.
Thanks, Josh. All those in favor of adjourning our meeting today, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
Our meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and have a wonderful week.
Good week. Take care.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.